Welcome to the Wisdom Coalition podcast, designed to show you how to change your mindset so you can find more joy in every aspect of your life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets.
Joy for All Companion Pets provide joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to your aging loved ones and peace of mind for your family.
Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
Special thanks to WFMZ-TV and thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Wertheen.
And I'm Kim Howe. We invite you to experience the life-changing power of joy with us.
Well, we are checking in today with Hamilton, Bermuda, Fulham in the UK, and Tsim Sha Tsu in Hong Kong.
Wow.
I had to go slow on that one.
Yeah, that was good. And hello to Cincinnati, Ohio, Long Beach, California, and Charlotte, North Carolina.
Sorry.
I just had to. Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, I'm giving you the hard ones next time.
No, thank you.
No, I'm kidding. So I got a question for you.
Okay.
No, I have some questions. Are you superstitious?
About some things, but not everything.
Well, so if I set up a ladder in the room, in the studio right now, would you just like walk right under it?
Well, you know, that's not one of the things I'm superstitious about, but I think you do know that I'm very safety-oriented, so walking under anything would make me very nervous, because in my mind, the second I walk under it, it's going to collapse onto me, so yeah, I would not walk under it.
All right, well, I'm asking today, because we're going to talk about a subject I am psyched out of my mind about. And we want to talk about like what we do or don't do to calm ourselves. But we want to talk about the vagus nerve and how I don't know about this up until like a couple months ago. I don't know. I've been on this planet so long, but it's just not something we all know about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's such a great topic to tackle. And, you know, we're all going to benefit from learning how to calm ourselves down during stressful moments.
Yeah. Now, the vagus nerve is the longest and most complex of the 12 pairs of cranial nerves that emanate from the brain. It transmits information to or from the surface of the brain to tissues and organs elsewhere in the body. So it is, like, huge.
Yeah. And did you know that it's unique to mammals?
Okay.
Which I think is pretty interesting, right? And so, you know, we're going to learn more today about the vagus nerve, what it is, and why it's important to you.
And we've got a fantastic guest. She is Deb Dana. She's a clinician, a consultant, an author, and a speaker specializing in complex trauma. She is coordinator of the Traumatic Stress Research Consortium at the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. And she developed the Rhythm of Regulation Clinical Training Series to help clinicians. She also lectures internationally. Thanks for so much for being with us, Deb.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. And I'm going to just make one correction to the bio that I am a consultant to the Traumatic Stress Research Consortium. A couple of years ago, we hired a dear colleague of mine, Erica Bajoram, who is now the coordinator. Okay. So I want to give her all the credit there.
Thank you.
Aw, that's so nice of you. So we know that, you know, you're well known for translating scientific language into something that everyone can understand, which we're so grateful for. So let's start with the vagus nerve. Can you explain to us, you know, why we should understand its function in our lives?
Sure. And it is interesting that people are becoming more and more aware of the vagus nerve. We have these vagal pathways that go from our medulla, which is our brainstem. So if you put your hand on the back of your neck, that's where it originates. And then it travels down through your throat, your lungs, your heart, down into your gut. And it also connects with nerves that go up into your face, your eyes, in your head. So it's this lovely integrating nerve. And its pathways go in two directions, both brain to body and body to brain. And actually 80% of the information travels from your body to your brain. So it's a connection inside your body that just is filled with information about how you're doing, right? What's happening that then impacts the way you move through the world. I like to call it the way we navigate the world. And that really is based on not our brains, but on our nervous system and this vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. So what happens there, the what it begins to bring alive inside us, then travels that pathway to your brain. And the brain's job is to make a story that makes some sense of what's happening in that embodied pathway. So that's where our stories come from. But if we go underneath the story, we listen in there and we learn more about, why is this story happening? Why am I thinking, feeling, acting in this way? And also, how might I change it? Because working with the nervous system, with the vagus nerve, is really the best way to begin to change what's then happening in our life.
Mm. And, you know, you had said more and more people are starting to learn about, understand the vagus nerve. Why? How can we benefit from understanding what it is and what it does?
Well, I like to invite people into understanding it, because when we understand how this system works, we can become active operators of this system. And this vagal system is really an essential ingredient in both our physical and our psychological well-being. So understanding how it works, how it's taking us into patterns of protection, how we can bring more patterns of connection, is really helping us take some management over our own physical and psychological well-being.
Okay, so then how can we stimulate healthy function in our vagus nerve?
Well, it's a fascinating nerve, because one of the things that's happening, if we step even before the vagal activation, is this thing called neuroception, which is the way our body is listening for cues of safety and danger inside our body. So it's listening in this moment. If you check inside your body, your neuroception is listening to your digestion, to your breath, to your lungs, to your heart, all of this. And then it listens to the environment around us. So if you think about the environment around you, your nervous system is also checking to see what feels safe or not. And then it listens in the space between people, so between nervous systems. So as your neuroception, I love that word, it's neuro for neural and ception for awareness. Just a fun word to say, isn't it? Neuroception.
Yes.
So as your neuroception begins to take in cues of safety and unsafety, it then activates your nervous system in different ways, and that vagus can get activated and help us anchor in safety, or help us respond in healthy ways to cues of danger. So that's really what we want to do, is to strengthen the connection to our vagal pathways. And we have two. There's a ventral vagal and a dorsal vagal. So this lovely bundle of nerves, which, is the longest in our body and just connects so many places, from the diaphragm, which is just underneath your breastbone, from the diaphragm up, that's the realm of the ventral vagus. And that's the part of this pathway that helps us feel organized, feel safe enough, feel ready to engage. The path from the diaphragm downward, the digestive system, that's your dorsal vagus. And when it's working well, it brings healthy digestion and nutrients to nourish us. So that we want to just work on its own, doing its everyday role. And so if we think about the ventral vagus, we want to begin to connect with it and shape it so that it has more strength in helping us stay anchored in regulation. And none of us stay in that place all the time. You might even think of your day so far today, and you noticed, I think I left that place of feeling regulated and organized, right? But I found my way back. And it's your ventral vagus that helps you find your way back there.
Yeah. I'm sitting here every time you mention a body part, I'm like touching myself to see if I can find or feel my vagus nerve. I can't. So,
I
would love to have you talk about how the vagus nerve is impacted by trauma, because I think that, everybody's got some trauma, right? Big T, little T, whatever it is, some of us more than others. So what is the role of the vagus nerve in trauma?
Sure. And so, if we expand for a moment again, we have ventral vagal, we have dorsal vagal. There is a third component of the autonomic nervous system, which is your sympathetic pathway. And that's the pathway that brings the survival energy of fight and flight. So we have ventral regulation, sympathetic fight and flight, and dorsal in a survival role takes us through disconnection and collapse. And what happens when we encounter experiences that are overwhelming for us, for whatever reason, too big, too often, too long, all of the twos that come into place here can bring this response where our ventral vagal pathway is no longer able to regulate our system. It's overwhelmed. And when that happens, we move first into the fight and flight energy of sympathetic. And if that doesn't solve the problem, we then move into dorsal collapse disconnection, some form of disappearing, right? And so that's what happens for trauma, when we experience trauma. And I think, you know, if we think about the world we're living in, it's a trauma saturated world at the moment. There, your neuroception, to go back there for a minute, is being bombarded by cues of danger over and over and over. And the unpredictability, the unfamiliarity, all of those are cues of danger. And when we're overwhelmed with cues of danger, ventral vagal pathways have a hard time keeping up. And so we often begin to move into a habitual protective response of going to sympathetic and or dorsal. So once we're, you know, become familiar with, oh, there's a protective pathway, we enter into it more easily and we get stuck there. It's not that we go to sympathetic or dorsal protection that is the problem. That doesn't cause dis-ease or disease. It's when we get stuck there and can't come back to ventral. So for all of us and everybody who's listening, if you notice, oh, I go to sympathetic survival, to fight or flight, or even to disappear, collapse, you know, just going through the motions, you're okay. That doesn't mean there's something horrible going on. It simply means you recognize that, and then we have to figure out how do we return to those ventral pathways of safety and regulation. And that's really a lot of my work nowadays, is to help people find more ways to do that.
Yeah, so great. Just one second, because we want to hear more about that, but I just have to quick thank our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, and remind you of our 15% off code for Wisdom Coalition listeners. Wisdom15 will get you 15% off your very own Joy for All companion pet. And you know, if you've listened to us before, that these are animatronic, realistic pets that look and feel like real cats and dogs. Go to joyforall.com for more information.
So Deb, we know that you travel around the world or work around the world with therapists teaching them the polyvagal theory. So I'm assuming that maybe that might be helpful for people to understand, you know, how to use that theory in order to help themselves, like you said, sort of get back on track. So can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah. So if we think about ventral, and really ventral is the essential ingredient that we're trying to boost. We're trying to increase our capacity to be in ventral, to anchor in ventral. I love the word anchor. So we want to anchor in ventral and be able to find our way back there. And, you know, if we think really a very simple way to begin to explore that for yourselves is what I call ventral vagal anchors. And they come in the categories of who, what, when, and where. And so if we just think about those for a minute, you know, think about a person in your life who, when you're around them, you feel welcomed. You feel, oh, I'm safe here. I'm welcomed into this person's experience. They see me. They're safe to be with, right? And I love that you just were having these, you know, joyful pets, because pets are often a place where people go as well. You know, a person or a pet where you feel welcomed, you feel safe. You can begin to feel that ventral experience. So that's the who. And so, you know, identify a who, and then we can reach out to that person, find that pet, or even remember being with that person or pet, because the remembering will bring it alive, because it's already an experience your nervous system has wired in and it remembers it. So it'll bring it alive again. Mm-hmm. So that's a who, you know, and then we have a what are both actions and objects. So what are some things that you have around you that you can pick up or you can look at that also bring that sense of safety and regulation, connection to something that feels at ease or joy-filled, right? That's a what. A what can also be something you do, a little something, not a big, long practice, a simple thing like looking out the window, like turning on a piece of music, right? We're looking for the little things, because what we know is it's doing small things over and over that begins to resource that system. So it's not one big thing, it's small things over and over. So that's a who, a what, the where are, you know, where are the places in your world where you can go, where you simply feel, oh, I'm okay, I'm safe enough, okay enough, regulated enough, organized enough, right? Then that's your ventral system telling you it's okay, right? It's okay. So we have a who, what, where, and then we have a when. When are the moments? And these are the simple moments that repeat over and over. That when you notice, oh, here's a moment, ventral anchor. I can depend on this. For me, I'm a very early morning person. So for me, that really early morning time is an anchor for me when I know, oh, I can depend on this and I can begin to resource my system before I ever start my day. So those are some of the simple things that we can all do to begin to get to know our own ventral anchors. And then as we use them regularly, we begin to increase the power of our ventral system to hold us in that place of regulation and safety.
I love that. And I love that you said, you know, earlier, like when you're feeling those kinds of fight or flight or those kinds of things, that you're okay. And so it sounds to me like what you're saying is it's more of just like an awareness, you know, being aware of what was going on in your body. And if it's a pattern that is not substantiated in what's happening, then you're trying to be aware of it and break the pattern, correct?
Right. Yes, it is awareness. You know, we call this autonomic awareness of how is neuroception taking in these cues and then bringing that change in my experience. And with awareness, that's the first step to being able to use some discernment, right? It, mm-hmm. Is this awareness, does it a match for what's happening in this moment? Or is it out of an old familiar pattern that I no longer need, in which case I can reshape that, because we do know the nervous system and these patterns can be reshaped. That's the true hopefulness of all this, right? We're not stuck in these patterns. We can reshape them.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you use the concept of a ladder to explain. I understand that that's how you say, like, you know, you can travel up and down the ladder and try not to get, you know, stuck at the bottom. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to. And I have such fun with my ladder. I love that you were saying you're not superstitious about walking under, but you're worried about the safety of it, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, right, right. And, you know, with my ladder, because I was trying to think, how do I bring this to life in a way that's easily accessible? The bottom of the ladder is that dorsal place of collapse, because we're on the ladder still, but we're at the very bottom. And we have to climb up that ladder. We have to bring some energy to find the way to ventral. The middle of the ladder is sympathetic mobilization, where some of that energy lives, and in places in the middle that fight and flight live, right? And then at the very top of the ladder is this lovely place where we can see possibilities and hope and options and stories, and that's ventral. And so what I'm trying to help people understand, and you know, we go, the terminology is up and down the ladder. But if you think about it through your nervous system, we go down and up. We don't want to go up and down. We want to go down and up, because we always want to end in that ventral place. That's the place where we can really feel well-being, right? And in earlier when we, you know, you talked about how do we calm down? And again, you know, let's try and change the way we think about this. We calm up, right? Because in sympathetic, we're in the middle of the ladder, and we want to organize that energy. So because when we're in fight and flight, we're overflowing with energy, but it doesn't get us anywhere. It's purposeless. It's chaotic. Mm-hmm. So if we can organize that energy and move back up the ladder, calm up, so to speak, to ventral, then the energy has a purpose and it leads us somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, and really when I listen to you, it kind of feels very hopeful to me, you know, that this understanding is really going to give people hope. And I, you know, that's the first thing I was thinking. But I also wondered if you could talk about the importance of the breath in this.
Yes, and sure. Yeah, yeah. So it is very hopeful. And breath is one of the ways that we can begin to both become aware and shape our nervous system. And I want to just say, you know, first that breath is both a regulator of our nervous system and can be a big activator of our survival states because we have breath patterns that are there for a reason. So what I think I'd like to invite us to think about today, one, an overall experience is that if you have a longer exhale than inhale, so if you focus on the exhale, you are going to bring more ventral activation of that vagal pathway, which is lovely. The thing that I think is easy and I love to do with people is sighing, because sighing is something we spontaneously do many times an hour. And yet we can also intentionally sigh to bring some awareness. So if we're in that dorsal place of despair and collapse, we can have that sigh of despair. Right. And you might even try one, and you can listen to your own sigh of despair, a hopeless sigh. Right. And what it does is it brings awareness through the breath. It also begins to interrupt your despair just a bit. And then in sympathetic, we all know the sigh of frustration, right? Mm-hmm. That's that sigh. And what the research tells us is that when we sigh, it is actually an interrupter of both our physiology and our thinking. Mm. So a sigh of frustration gives a momentary reset. And then in ventral, we can have a sigh of relief that, oh, thank goodness I found my way back here. And then when we stay there, we can have a sigh of contentment. Right. And so these different ways of sighing are, I think, a gentle and yet powerful way of getting to know the nervous system and gently inviting it to reshape and begin to come back to regulation.
That's amazing.
I know, I was just thinking that. Who knew there were so many different ways to sigh?
But there is, right? But you just don't think about it.
Yeah. Really, really amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Mm. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Yeah. As you were talking about the breath, all I could think of in my mind, I was envisioning in yoga, the lion's breath, you know, where you kind of let that big exhale out and you stick your tongue out, and it just seems so silly, but it's so helpful for the body.
I thought you were going to say you were getting worried I was going to fall off my chair because I was over here hyperventilating trying to figure my breath out. But listen, Deb, really, really fascinating and great work you're doing to help people. So please tell us, where can folks find you?
So my website, rhythmofregulation.com, is the best place to come. And please come. There are free resources. We're trying to add more things for what I like to call curious human beings, because I think this information is really, you know, for all of us. Not, I am a therapist, but not just for therapists, but for all of us. The nervous system is the common denominator in our human experience. And so I invite you all to come and explore.
Yeah, and it's been neglected. We need more attention on it. So, yeah, fabulous. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets, providing joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to aging loved ones and peace of mind to their families. Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
And until next time, remember, stay connected to your why, fuel your core energy with joy, and live your life from the inside out.
Thanks for listening. We hope you find some joy today.